And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 157.
157.
Welcome. My name is Silas Lindenstein, and one of your co-hosts.
Welcome. My name is Samantha Rand, and I'm the other one of your co-hosts.
Welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Yeah. We're here today. We are joined by a Seattle icon, probably, is what sexiest man for 3 years running, probably. Who knows? Very talented actor out of Seattle, Lowell Dale. He's here. He joins us to talk about his past, coming from his journalism background, moving into actor, and finally that led him to here.
Yeah, and dare I say, one of the most delightful detective stories I've heard.
Oh yeah,
I've heard to date.
Yes. He is quite a detective tale that eventually made national news, and you got to listen to
that.
Right. It's an amazing, wonderful story. Lowell's he continues the streak of guests who I just recently acted with, and I got them all to agree to come on an episode. So thanks, Lowell. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I want to be your half.
You want to be? Could be one.
I'm doing the math in my head, so I think that's fine.
Right.
I want to be your half.
The Black and a Half math, you guys. Yeah. Just because that's brought up later.
Yeah. It's a crazy.
Not
it's
to
crazy
leave
math.
Suspense.
Mm. It's the old math. It's like the old math meets the new math.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's Samantha. One day, I do look forward to the day that you have a grown child that you cannot help it with its homework. Like I can't. My daughter shows. She's like, so Dad, how do I do this? And I look at him like, oh fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, your warm wishes for me just fill me with.
It's a wonderful experience to realize that
they
teach things different now, and
well,
you just can't even help.
But also, too, like, do you really, are you going to remember some of the stuff? Like, you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing. Because I remember back in the day in high school, and I was doing like calculus or whatever. And my mom was like, oh, what's this? Man, I used to be so good at math. And I'm like thinking, yeah, sure, Mom, sure. I mean, I know she was, but you still can't, like, when you're a kid, you still think that,
no,
like,
but now
well,
they do
well
things,
I can't you do my homework. But
they,
seriously,
they do
dude,
so
I don't remember how to do calculus now, and I was a math tutor in high school.
Calculus,
like,
I'm talking
gonna,
basic,
no.
basic math that they show, and I'm like, well, no, I don't know how to add oh, this, but I don't know what the fuck you're doing. What is this?
Wait, how does math change? I thought
they
math
do,
was like,
the I way, heard that they do, like, the...
It's different ways. It's ways they do in other countries. Yeah,
different.
Multiplication's done different, and adding so that they know ways now that you take the numbers and the way you line them out. You,
it
you
sounds
draw lines.
More complicated
is the answer,
to me.
The same?
The answer's the same.
But here's the thing: they do it because people learn in different ways, and so it's easier for everybody. But like my dog, I'm like, I know the answer to this,
right.
but I don't know how to show you how to get there
right.
other than my one way
uh-huh.
that I just do. I'm sorry.
Because that train left the station at 20 miles an hour. So if the next train leaves 5 minutes later at 35 miles an hour,
yeah.
X God. Marks the spot with the looking for.
Hated
oh my gosh.
Those. Hated those. Purple passion.
Right.
Yeah. So,
man.
Yeah.
Well,
so
you
day,
know, thank you for your warm wishes, Silas.
No, it'll bring. Hey, yeah, you'll get lots of sleep till then, I'm sure.
So when you're birthing one, remember that.
Huh?
When you're birthing one, remember that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
till
I'll just. That's what I'm gonna do. I've practiced like instead of the hee who, I've got 1, 2, 3, math, and then just. I don't know.
That's what I want. Well, she's giving
integers.
Birth to think about how Silas says I won't be able to teach him math or her math.
I'm failing early as a parent.
Yeah.
I'm going into the home, definitely.
Okay, but hey, if you are enjoying the show, if you like the show, actually, even if you don't like it, if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a good 5-star review, I'd really appreciate it. Leave a comment. You know, it just helps us in the ratings, and it means a lot to us.
Yeah, if you don't like it, just comment, up yours, 5 stars. Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Words speak louder than stars.
I'll go ding you now.
Then one of us. So yeah, if you've taken any from the show, gotten any sense of any humor at all, that's one of the best ways to show it. Another way, if you really like the show, you can become one of our Patreon supporters by going to patreon.com/black and a half. And for as little as $1, you can join the League of Extraordinary Listeners, or you can up that a little bit and become an Inner Circle member like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Be like them. Give till it hurts. And a big thank you to you folks for being our big Inner Circle members consistently every month. And then today's episode is also brought to you by my other podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I teach people all over the nation. I educate and empower them on the home buying process, and give them tips to, you know, help them get that house. Yeah, it's a tough market out there, so you need tips. So go to yourbuyingahome.com and get those tips. And of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, I can help you out, of course, finding a house. Or if you are anywhere else in the nation, I can connect you with a lovely real estate agent that'll help you buy or sell a home. And today's episode is also brought to us by
another podcast, Beyond Technique, with me, Samantha Run, and guests. We talk about performance-based things and how you can use that to help improve your life. So feel free to check that out. And then if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance skills so you can communicate with more of your whole self, that voice, body, mind connection, whether you're an actor, public speaker, or just looking, you know, for that interpersonal communication skills, all that, you can always reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com.
Yeah. And that's those shows. But this is this show. So I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes for episode number 157, On the Scene with Lowell Deo.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Prosper. You two are agent siblings or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called when you're with the same agent.
I think agent siblings kind of works.
Okay. That works, yeah.
Yeah, so you probably see each other's pictures on. And
oh, he doesn't know, does he, Samantha?
I was like, I don't like on our agency website or something.
Yeah. Don't you have an agency website?
I mean, I don't know the last time I went on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, me either.
I mean,
scope out the other folks.
Oh, but yeah, I actually do. That's a good point, because I actually had to thank you. I have to check and see if I have something uploaded on it or not.
If they updated it. You could know, Lowell. I brought this up last week because I went to I was going to audition for something in Portland, mm-hmm. for an agency. And they had a video to tell me how to audition. And
oh,
it was Lowell.
This is the Lowell that you were telling me about.
I thought it was fun. Oh,
I haven't I didn't get to see him. It. But now I'm looking forward to getting one of those.
Those auditions
these
where
days.
You know the person that's telling you how to audition.
Yeah.
Richardson!
It's sort of like Inception, right? Because you're trying to audition and they're telling you how you should audition. I don't know why people so picky about.
No, I did one this morning and had no clue. So I'm just like, let me just crack open a drink and just. It was soda. So.
Oh man, come on! I'm drinking vicariously through all of our guests right now. I was gonna. Okay, but you can tell me what soda did you have?
What soda?
Well, yeah. Was it good? What kind of soda?
You're allowed to drink soda.
I try not to.
I make homemade sodas using ginger bug.
Wait, really? Okay.
Like, I definitely needed to ask that. Come on.
Wait, is this a long process? Are you like, is this like the beer brewer, but you're a soda brewer?
No, not really long. You have to like get 8 quarts of water and you have to leave it out for 24 hours so the chlorine and all the impurities like kind of get out of it. And then you like boil a bunch of stuff in it. I almost said a bad word. You know, like oranges, pears, whatever soda you want, cherry, strawberry.
There's no language problem on the show, so don't worry.
The joy of the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
That's a process, though. That is a process of like you got.
No. Because once everything is like boiled down, you like boil it on high for like an hour or so, and you let it cool down. Then you put like couple of cups of the ginger bug juice in there, and then you bottle it, and then the bottles just have to sit in the dark for 3 days, and you got soda.
If you have to do something in the dark for 3 days, that's a process. Like you got to plan that.
That's a resurrection.
Then how long is it?
Sounds like judgment silence.
How long is it good for? How long does it last?
Oh, I don't know. I've got stuff in there about to celebrate a birthday.
Oh, really? Okay. And it's all, is it all ginger? Is this this isn't ginger beer. Like this is.
No. You can make ginger beer, but you use something called ginger bug, which is where the yeast from the ginger cultivates.
So
the danger, what makes the process really interesting is even though I've got stuff in there that's about a year old, in the middle of the night when you hear this godforsaken racket, you have no idea what it is.
Oh.
And you have bottles that are popping.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Bursting in the refrigerator, yeah.
Because because you over yeasted them or
left it in there too long.
Okay.
And if you leave it too long, soda ends up tasting like a really, really bargain basement wine.
Okay.
So you can get a buzz on that way.
That's great. Cause I was going to say like feet. I felt like the word was feet.
It tastes like
never tasted feet, nor do I plan on it, but
she anticipated the question.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, nope, there's just some things you feel like it has a taste to it, but you said bad wine. So maybe, you know, they should have watched their feet before stomping on it and bottling it up. That kind of feet wine. Soda.
Okay, so you can and you can flavor these any way you want.
Yeah, depending on whatever fruit you decide to boil, that you make a wort out of.
So you can get a cola fruit. So eat a cola.
There are recipes for cola, and I've tried it before, but it came out tasting nothing like cola.
I feel like it would end up being like when I was a kid and my dad, like, I asked dad for a piece of chocolate and he gave it to me and turned out it was carob.
I knew you were going to say carob.
Like,
yum.
You thought you were getting chocolate. I don't know anything else looked like this, dad.
I'm amazed you could tell the difference. As kids, we can tell the difference.
You couldn't?
Really? For sure.
We came from a poor black family.
You never tasted real chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, man. Silas, I just have to say you are very done up today.
Well,
do an audition or a show on, or you just got dressed up pretty like this for us?
I was a little extra fat, and so I had used up all my plain t-shirts, trying not to get I need to be a little more conscious about copyright problems, Samantha.
Uh-oh, what happened?
We hit a threshold last week.
What?
Yes.
A threshold for
our show. We hit number. It sounds big. It sounds like a really giant number, right? But we hit number 183 on a chart for a comedy podcast, which sounds like you're like, well, that's way down there. But
no, there are so many
million
podcasts.
Comedy podcasts. So we're really, yeah, I don't know how or what, like why registered it now, but it said, hey, congratulations. You've entered. It said 183. I was like, what?
That's exciting.
Wow.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Moving on up.
We got noticed. the fact that we registered somewhere.
That could be
total listens over the lifetime of it that did it. I don't know. But I was just like, that's really cool. And I was going to
Do you think it was the sexy cop episode?
Probably. Sexy cop. She threw us over
you did it. That's Amber right. You launched us into over the other echelon.
Okay. Oh. I'm missing something here. I want to hear about the sexy cop.
Yeah, it was.
After Samantha finishes their story about feet.
Week or the week before? I don't even remember.
Couple weeks ago.
Dropped
last week.
Who even knows?
Amber Wolf from our shoot there, Lowell. She was on and she talked about her future in law enforcement, her planned future. She does burlesque, so it's all sexy cop. Sexy cop.
Okay.
Right there, thrown there. Now we got
and also reform and helping people.
Yeah.
That's so sexy. I mean, can we?
Nothing sexier than reform.
I mean,
give me some reform.
I think I saw that movie.
It's the Pillow Talk.
Oh yeah, but copyright stuff. You said so. Does this mean I can't? I gotta be careful what shirts I'm wearing.
It was just a transition, kind of. But
no, and I was. But I was buying it.
No, I have plain shirt. I've been trying not to always just wear like a Star Wars shirt.
I cut it myself look today.
Did you?
I cut this. I didn't buy it like this. I cut this
last week.
Nice.
Well, I don't know. Do you ever
cut my own hair?
When
yes.
you have auditions, do you worry about like, you're working all the time, so it's different. Like, I don't work all the time. So, when there's an audition, sometimes I do it like real quick. I didn't mean to like, I just didn't have time to cut my hair or something. And I send it in and then they say they want you for a callback. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Now I'm stuck with this hair. I can't cut my hair now until they reject me for this. And then I remember one, they put me on like, oh, well, they want to put you on hold now. Like, for real? Now I'm on hold with this hair? I don't like, you can't keep going. My hair keeps growing out. Like, I'm like, I don't know so you just can't cut it though, right?
No, you know how you get around that?
What?
Oops.
I see. I'm so desperate for work that they'll reject me. Okay. You two are the workhorses of acting. I get the occasional gig. I had a surprise yesterday. That was like, I had no idea. It never happened to me yet. I got a check in the mail for a reuse of something.
Oh, so that they're nice.
Gonna yes.
do. And I was like, I got in the check and I was like, oh, I actually thought it was our gig came early or something. I was like, that was really fast. They said they had to check for me. Oh, I thought they were going to mail it to me. That's weird. Just send it to me, Topo. COVID exists, so I don't want to go out. And then I got it. I'm like, what the fuck is this for? And I'm like reading the line and I mess it. I'm like, reuse? What? Oh my God.
That's exciting.
That's amazing.
But also your attitude, like, oh, sure, I'll get it. What the F is this extra money for?
No, I'm just really confused. Well, because I was expecting more money for something else.
Yeah, right. Okay, that makes sense.
And then I'm like,
right.
Well, then,
what is this? Tuppence?
Then I realized it wasn't that wasn't it. Then I was like, did they not pay me for something? I'm like, I sure would have caught that. And then, I don't know. It's just like, it was a shock of like, I really just getting paid for something I used to do. Like,
that's exciting.
Is that a weird, like, do you have that happen frequently? Is this something I'm just missing out?
Did it make you recommit to acting, this whole acting thing?
It made me go, oh my God, I really need to, I should focus on this a little. Like, oh, give me more of these safety videos. I didn't know there was this money in safety.
Have you had that other experience?
Which one?
of where you get the check in the mail and you're like opening it up because you're looking at the back of the check and you know it's a check and you're like,
and it's
mortgage.
And it's, then for, it's like 2 cents.
It's worth 0.00. I kid you not. $0.00.
How can they? What?
Oh, man.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's painful.
Oh, that is painful. Silas, did you frame it?
I have gotten, no, I haven't had it like that. I've just had royalty payment from Amazon announced for like the film. And then it's 2 cents
for the short
film. I'm like, oh, all right. They're downloading that. I think they kicked my films off though now. If you're not getting enough views and they're short films, they're just kind of like, eh, get out of here. We don't want you filling up our cloud. As if that means anything. I don't know.
I would pay you 2 cents.
to stream my stuff. Yeah, I think I haven't got anything in a while, so I think it must be. I can't believe people stopped watching my 2 short films. Okay, I wanted to ask you guys. Do you find... This is going to seem really off topic, but it was something that just happened to me. I was explaining to my wife, because it's a guy called about a house, right? And I was explaining to her, trying to be gentle about this, and I was like, I was explaining culturally that there are things culturally, and I don't know if it's just like if she said it because she's white, if she had said it something, oh, culturally people like to do this. In this culture, I know this from experience and talking to people in the culture, what the line is between something being racist, a racist comment about a person of, say, Indian descent versus, no, just culturally, that's just kind of something you do. And so you got to work with that and be racially aware, I think, of it. And so the context of this was like someone called.
Okay, thanks, because I didn't follow who said what.
Someone
like,
called
what's
me.
Happening? Did you get
I was
lost
explaining
too?
To my wife that I got a call off of a sign of me, like listing a house.
Oh, okay.
I said,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
going to the listing agent because they want a deal.
Okay.
And I was explaining why. Well, they're not going to call me back I was trying to set up a. Oh, I can show you something else because they're not working with anybody. I said no, they're going to go to the listing agent culturally. I've found that they want the culture set up that you want a deal. Like mm-hmm. it's the whole, all of East Asia, pretty much they have this cultural thing of wanting a deal. They mm-hmm. want to feel like they got it. And in this market, it's horrible. You can't get, you have to pay over everything. So mm-hmm. the only way to do that is to like, maybe they can get me and then I'll lower part of my commission because it's two-sided and then they'll feel like they got a deal. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, that's interesting. And then I was looking at it, I was like, man, if you said that to me, I'd have called you a racist, I think. Like, is there a difference between, where's the line between being aware of a culture and making a racist stereotype of the culture?
Intent.
I was going to say how, you put things, how you frame it.
Okay.
And I think your wife framed it beautifully. Or was that you?
That was me.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
you? Okay. So I give you a pass on that.
Okay.
But yeah, if you said anything else, I'd be like, ooh, no.
Right. I think it's totally. Because of the way that you phrase it makes your intent clear. If you said like, these people always want blah, blah, blah. I mean, whenever you start a sentence off with these people, it's usually not going to end well.
Yeah.
But.
Unless he had said, my best friend is.
I've got a best friend. Oh, my God. And so what? In those racial lines, as we talk about occasionally here, you guys are aware of the Major League Baseball scandal.
Uh-huh. Leaving Atlanta.
Leaving Atlanta from it. So I find it an interesting topic because Stacey Abrams is kind of against it. As well as a couple others has said, because the people who are going to be affected by them pulling the All-Star game out are also the same people who are getting disenfranchised while voting, that a lot of these lower paying jobs are now like they've pulled out. And so they've taken work away now from the workers here who are mm-hmm. also the same audience that they're trying to like fight for. So she was like, yeah, you gotta, that's not a good idea. in this case. Like, we like your intent, but.
Did you hear a whole conversation? Because I only heard a little clip of her on the news the other day, mm-hmm. and it sounded like it was great idea, but unfortunately, yeah. you're hurting the people yeah. here. But yeah. like, and there's no way. To... But like, thank you for taking a stand. Kind of, it seemed yeah. like a tricky thing.
And there's no way to do a surgical strike in a situation like that.
Yeah,
because corporations, if they're going to make their wishes known, have to do it in ways that involve business and money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I'm not going to say Stacey Abrams was disingenuous. I don't believe she is.
Oh, no.
But I have to believe part of her was like, yeah, show these people. Show them, to make them think twice. Make Texas look and say, you better not do that.
You know, tying into that, though, what you're saying, Silas, about, yeah, certain industries being like, hey, we can't support this. And to show that, that means we're not going to, like, right. we're not going to bring our business here. We're not going to, yeah. you know, obviously, I was thinking, like, how's that going to affect the entertainment stuff well, there?
They did that.
Well, and then did you see this article that came out? Did you guys see it? They're no. looking to convert some space into like a big sound stage up here in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
oh,
like,
yeah,
yeah. And yeah, like talking to like our legislature, whoever, yeah. whatever their technical term is, to try to get like some of the incentives and stuff out. I'm seriously like, please. You know, it'd be so great to have like those incentives and get more filming out here.
Okay, but this is where I think it's like, this is where I find it really funny, hilarious, I don't know, ironic.
Mm-hmm.
So often the same people who are like, yes, we need tax incentives. We gotta give breaks, corporate breaks to the corporate tax breaks to these people so they'll film here, are also against the tax breaks they give to other corporations to stay here for the sake of jobs. They give tax breaks to Amazon and Boeing. They give them credits so that they'll stay here and keep the business. Mm-hmm. And people get upset. And I will say typically it's the people on the left. But for film, then they're like, oh, no. Yeah, give them breaks. Give them tax breaks so that they'll come here.
Do you find that, though? I have not found that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I found in Washington State, people are more prone to express pride in not watching television or being in the thrall of the entertainment industry. So I cannot imagine a lot of folks saying, oh, yeah, throw money at them. Put them here.
Well, usually, I mean, it's the actors. Usually that it's people in the film industry, actors that okay. want. And I mean, that when I say people, I don't have any friends, right, that aren't actors or comedians or something. They're all in entertainment. So I see them all being like shouting like, yeah, let's give tax incentives. And I'm like, but you don't want Boeing to have them. Like, why? What's going on? Where?
I feel like, honestly, I feel like I would need more information about that, because I definitely have been somebody who clearly just now said, give us those tax breaks and bring us some films. Let us be in some films. But I've also said, man, Amazon needs to like pay taxes.
Yes.
So
that's
yes,
the thing. It's the
agreed. But what I'm saying, Silas, is I think like I would need more information, because the information that I'm operating off of is like, I didn't think that Amazon was going to leave if we started, like, I figured it was all of Amazon, like, period, not just in Seattle. I wasn't thinking it mattered where they went to get their tax breaks.
Oh, well,
so,
yeah.
So I mean, that's like,
well, that's apparently why they went to another headquarters.
Oh,
potentially moving some people there because of our high taxes. And that's why Boeing's other places, apparently, allegedly. I feel like a lot of big corporations sometimes use taxes as an excuse to like, because they're like, well, we just want a Chicago office. It streamlines our business better. We need yeah. to be open at different times of the day. But you know what? It's the damn taxes. So they can bitch about them because maybe they'll lower the taxes a little, even though they're not going to. I don't know. I'm skeptical now.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting point.
Lowell, you may have done a story on that. I don't know, right? You're Samantha, do you know? Do you recognize Lowell? Do you recognize Lowell?
Did you do reporting too? He said you might have done a story on it
years ago. That
was a long time ago.
Do you remember him?
I don't know. I'm
you
sorry.
You probably didn't watch the news when you were in school.
Early, right?
Yeah, you may have been in third grade when I was.
No, Lowell, I remember you. It was not that long ago because I swear I remember.
Maybe you. That's why you look familiar. It was a while ago. I don't know. You do.
It was a while ago.
You were doing news after 2000, right?
Yeah, I quit in 2008.
Okay, yeah. So I got a good 8 years of watching. I knew. I just were like, when I found out you had done it, I'm like, I was like, no, the voice is familiar. I remember that. Like, I can't tell you like a story. Linwood Snowmageddon or something. You did that. Did you, I'm curious to get into your origin story here. Was journalism something you always wanted to do as a kid, or was it acting?
I thrived as an actor. It's just the old trope of the shy kid, young kid who comes alive on stage.
Okay.
But, you know, you have practical parents who are like, you know you're going to starve, right? You know you're going to starve. They're like, yeah, okay, I won't do that. So you just happen to intern at a television station in your teens. You get a $200 scholarship. Hey, but the only way you get the money, is if you declare journalism as your major.
Okay.
So you declare journalism as your major, and then 3 years later, you're like, especially when you're crossing the dais, getting your diploma, you're like, well, I just screwed myself. And so that's how it happened.
Were parents okay with journalism?
Yeah, they were. You know,
was there an assumption? Does it sound like it's a thing that there's jobs in?
It was, keep in mind, this was like a long time ago. This was like in the 70s, 80s, when your parents could see you on television and people would be calling and saying, oh, I saw Lowell on TV and blah, blah, blah. And then I go home and I'm like, okay, Mama, what was my story about? I don't know, but you look good.
Did you ever aspire to be like Get Jesse? Did you ever want to like go in those undercover, or did you just follow the? Yeah,
you have to have a certain personality to do that. To walk up on people and you know, call them out. It's like no. I was like, I'm going to be over here.
You're not a caller out kind of person.
I'm not a caller out. I'm just like, let me write some pretty words, do a creative stand up, put some pretty pictures together, and hope for the best. Hope it makes sense.
I want to see Throwing Shade with Lowell Dio. Did you really rip off this little old woman?
Oh my goodness. I'm interjecting because I'm going to be distracted by this until I comment on that. I love your yellow walls.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's just so bright and cheerful. That's all, you guys. If you're not watching this, you're missing out on the yellow.
Is that a snake behind you? What is that design, that art?
No, this is a metal plaque that was made out of an oil drum by some artist in the Caribbean.
Cool. Oh. You're not from the Caribbean, are you?
I am not.
Okay.
Made by Michelette M, whoever that is.
Like, made by China. No. China. Okay. They can't all be winners. And so, what made you how did you transition from journalism to acting? Did you start dabbling in, were you getting to commercial work or something while you were doing journal, or did you have to do a hard stop and then move over into being an actor?
No. The way it happened was I worked a lot of places. I worked in Little Rock, Baltimore, St. Louis, and here. Mm-hmm. And I ended up in St. Louis, and St. Louis was not a good fit for me. St. Louis was, didn't want to be there.
No.
So
the
cult, I knew
culture?
That my
what was it about it?
Was about?
Yeah.
The city may have changed. It could be very different, but it was a little insular, I think, in terms of when people would ask you, hey, what school did you go to? They didn't mean college. They meant high school.
Yeah.
And that was a way of categorizing you. And so if you weren't from there, if you didn't go to high school there, then you were out of luck. So I just found it very difficult to make friends there.
Oh, so you were like, oh, where's a friendly place? Seattle.
Baltimore. Baltimore was extraordinarily friendly. I was
Baltimore. Okay.
I'm sorry, I left Baltimore.
Yeah.
But just to get back to your earlier point, Baltimore. I'm sitting at my desk one day and I get a call from this woman who's like, Lowell, you don't know me, but my name is blah, 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 blah. I run a talent agency here. And we have a client who is about to do a series of industrials. I had no idea what an industrial was. And they would like you to be the spokesperson for them. Right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And this so went against my training because I was always a follow the rules kind of guy.
Yeah.
I had a contract with the station that said, no, you cannot do work outside the station. But for whatever reason, I'm like, forget this. I'm doing it. So I, luckily it was on my off days. I did it. It took like 4 hours. The check came and I'm like, there must be some mistake. That was a nice check. That was a really nice check. And I'm like, I want to do this. And then a short time later, I ended up in Seattle a few months later. And I got another call from the same woman saying, yeah, the client would like to update that video you did. Remember the video? I'm like, oh, I'd love to, but I'm in Seattle now. So, well, that's okay. We're just doing a VO portion.
Oh, nice.
So we'll book you a studio, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And so then another really good check came. And I'm like, must find way to do this.
Yes.
And then...
and then found way and to
then
do
you,
this.
Then you just found a way, or did they?
No, no. It was a little bit of serendipity because I bought a house in Seattle when you could actually buy a house.
Yeah.
And right down the street was Melissa, our agent, right down the street.
Wow.
And I would see her. And she kept trying to get me to act on camera. And I told her, no, I just want to do voiceover. I just want to do voiceover. And she's like, right. And so finally, she lured me over saying, okay, you'll just do voiceover. You'll just do voiceover. Then I started getting these auditions for on-camera stuff.
Oh, she just started saying, hey, I got it's on camera a little bit, but if you could just do it.
Exactly. And by then you're like, I told her I would do it. And so then you start booking stuff and you're like, oh, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
Because I was so afraid I was going to have like television flashbacks. By being on camera, didn't want flashbacks.
No. did you? I mean, was it? Did you have voice training going into? I mean, is there voice training in journalism, or how did you? Because you have a very strong voice. I mean, you sound like a voice. I would say, like, you sound like a voice actor to me, or I would have thought you did radio or something, but.
Well, you know, as we would say back home, you're so sweet, you should have been candy. But no, I did have journalism voice training, but that's actually the worst kind of training you could have
really?
If you want to be a voice actor or even an actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as television reporters, we're trained to broadcast, you know, to speak loudly, to project, to focus directly on one thing, you know, with a glare of a thousand suns, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas in acting, it's like, bring it down, be conversational, just talk. And you're like, all right, I am talking to you now. Just talk.
So they train you when you're going like, guys, there's snow on the ground over here. Do you see it? I don't know if you can see it. And there's like no
snow. Let me paint a picture for you right now. Over here, you can see where the accident happened. Reports are very sketchy at this point, but we are hearing that 4 people have been hurt. And another thing about broadcast journalists, we are notorious for hitting all the wrong words.
I'm going to pay attention to that now.
Yeah.
You should. You listen, and then you're like, why is that the word you want to hit? So I had to unlearn a bunch of stuff and relearn it.
That's funny.
The trial is going on right now. Currently, there are people who are waiting to see what will happen.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And once you see it, once you hear it, you can't unhear.
Oh man.
Do you have any instance where you had to go that you can think of that was an absolute ridiculous thing to be reporting on, as far as that it was like, this isn't news, but you had to make it the most important thing of the day? Is there anyone that stands out?
Okay, I'll try not to identify the station.
Okay.
Because this is what led to the end for me. When I first started, part of the fun of your day of journalism was you'd go to the barber and the barber would be saying, hey, yeah, I heard this is going on. And yeah, then they're going to do this. And yeah, so-and-so's got this going on, right? So you would enterprise the story. Nobody else had this story. You had it because you're talking to the source or the brother of a source, right? And then over the years, corporations started buying TV stations, and then there were more TV stations, more networks, and suddenly morning news was not just 6:30 to 7, right? Morning news became 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. Noon news is like 11 to 2. And so the news hole is a hell of a lot bigger, right? So what that means is stations don't have time for you to go to the barber and hope you find a kind of sort of interesting story. So it's like, okay, what's in the newspaper?
Yeah.
Do this, do this. Just do what the other stations are doing, that type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no real identity to separate stations anymore because everybody's doing the same stories. So anyway, my last day or one of my last days, I did come up with a story that I thought, wow, this is interesting. And I ran it by them and they're like, okay, sure. Yeah. Go ahead and do that. Right.
Yeah.
And I was an evening reporter. Evening reporters come in at 3. We get off at 11. Okay. So then they're like, yeah, Lowell, we're going to can your story and we're going to have you do you such and such story. And I don't remember what it was, but it was like a total bullshit story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the story I pitched you was great. This one, not so much. Why are we doing this? And they're like, oh, because Cairo and King are doing it. Mm. And you're like, okay, you know, they've been working on it all day, right? You know, right now it's like 7:30 at night, right?
Yeah.
You know, we go on air at 9 o'clock, right? You know, they talk to all the people involved in the story. We don't have any of those people. Yeah, but we need you to do this story, right? So anyway, to make a long story even longer,
yeah,
go out to do this story. And then I guess they took pity on me because they're like, yeah, we're gonna have you do this other story, which was total BS. That wasn't a story either. So then they're like, yeah, we're going to put you back on the story we wanted you to do. By this time, it's like 8:30. I'm somewhere in Tacoma at a port where there's like some planned protest or something that's going to happen. Nobody is there. It's 8:30. Oh, we go on air at 9, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do you want me to do? They're like, yeah, just do a live shot. Talk about what's going on. Nothing is going. There's nobody here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, you know, we have you down as the lead story. And we really need you to go live and blah, blah, blah. Nobody is nothing. Nothing is going on.
The ghost.
And so that's when you just decide, yeah, this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah. So I could see two things very clearly now. One, no wonder why you didn't want to have TV flashbacks. And two, doing an industrial after that experience would be such a breath of fresh air. All of the industrials that I've ever done, they've always been like way more specific than that.
Yes. And the checks are a lot better. And the people are usually like, they have an idea of what they want and what they have to get out of it. Yes.
What do you think the biggest misconception people have about TV reporting is?
That it's glamorous. In a lot of ways, it can be glamorous because you can meet interesting people or you can get certain awards. But a lot of times it's just like, how am I going to make something out of nothing? How am I going to dress up this turd? And then in a live shot sound really, really excited about it. and you've really got to see this turd. You've never seen a turd like this before.
Ooh, name look of at the that episode, turd. You've got to see the turd.
Is it now that you're not in it, do you feel, what do you think when people talk about fake news, when you hear that, do you take it personally, or does it hurt at all, or have you disassociated yourself enough with it?
No, because I'm still obsessed with it. I still watch television news, more the national folks than the local folks.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are hardworking people. And I watch it with an eye towards trying to deconstruct the reporter's day, uh-huh. what they've had to go through to get to this certain point.
Mm.
So let me go ahead and tell you another story and talk about totally veering in a different direction. Had a weird situation here at my house, probably like 6 or so years ago,
okay.
where my partner at the time comes in and says, "Oh my gosh, a big dog crapped in the yard," right?
Okay. Yeah.
And come see. I'm like, no, I don't want to see him. Why do I want to see that? You know, but you know, he knows that I have a gag reflex and that stuff like that just really.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go out and I check this thing out. And I'm thinking that must have been a huge dog, right?
Yeah.
And number two, this was like number in the two. Dirt behind the flower beds. And I'm thinking, I thought dogs only did it in the grass, right? And so I became obsessed with this situation to the point where I'm like rewinding the security cameras to try to find out what happened, right?
Yeah.
And sure enough, some guy carrying a couple of shopping bags wanders onto the property, ducks behind the bushes and just decides he had too much coffee or something, right?
Oh,
okay.
So I'm the personality type who's like, I cannot let this go. I cannot let this go.
Yeah, he just came on your property and took a
dump.
Yeah.
So I wrote this little classified ad. And it was basically entitled "In Search of Poo Man." And basically I lied in it. I said, I'm not mad at you. I was furious. But I'm like, I just want to understand what would make somebody think that that was something okay to do. Right. So anyway, the point of the story being, I think it was a week or so after that, my house phone is blowing up with a certain number. I don't recognize the number, so I don't pick it up. Then my cell phone starts blowing up. I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I'm like, okay, it's the same number. So I might as well pick it up. And so I picked it up. "Hello, is this Lowell Dale?" I'm like, "Yeah." "This is Gary Horker from Cairo 7. And I'm like, "Yeah." And by this time, it was like 8 o'clock at night, right? He's like, "Yeah, we read your article In Search of Poo Man, and we were interested in doing a story on it," right? So any other time, or if I'd been had any other background, I'd be like, hell no. Oh no, right? But all I could think was, oh, poor Gary, it's 8 o'clock at night. He's right. Gotta go on the air at 10 or 11. So I said, wow. Sure. So I started talking to him about Pooh Man and how whoever did this should be arrested for illegal dumping and whatnot.
Yeah. Illegal dumping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after that, I'm walking to the nearby Fred Meyer. There are like firemen on a fire truck and they see me and they're like, "Anybody shoot me in the yard today?" And I became like the poo guy because of that story. But the whole point of the story, besides just wanting to churn your stomach, is that I knew what the reporter was going through. And I knew what I would want in a situation like that, because there were many times when I'm like, "Please just talk to me and then I can finish my story." And they're like, "Please, you're begging, total stranger, verge of tears.
Let me talk about the poo." Mm.
Wow.
Oh, and then the story went national. Anderson Cooper did it on his show.
Ooh, let's see. We should see if we can find that clip. Maybe it's on YouTube.
He didn't call me, but what happened was, this was like, I think 2 or 3 months after Cairo 7 did the story. And then somebody, we're having like a dinner party, and then I'm checking my email, and somebody's like, hey, I saw you in the news. I'm like, I don't work in the news. Oh, no, no, you were doing a story about somebody who pooped in your yard. And I'm like, okay, somebody's late to the game. And they're like, no, it was undramatic. And they're like, Anderson Cooper did it. Whoa, and so sure enough, I watched the replay, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's going to start all over again.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
And we don't know who did it, right? There's no...
Never tracked him down, so if he's listening...
You didn't keep a DNA sample or
anything? I was actually just thinking, yeah, get the CSI.
You didn't know the
get
technology
like Horatio
was out
Sands
there.
In with the sunglasses.
Oh, my God. You make me think, I'm like, I need to get my batteries back in my cameras, actually.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, you I want to see what you do.
I've seen some bizarre stuff going on outside the confines of this house, and it's like, really? People are foul.
Mm-mm.
Now, I don't give away where you. I know sort of where you. I don't give it away here, but is your neighborhood that busy that you would surprise? Are you not on an off street? Are you on like on a main street?
No, it's an off street. So I was like very surprised.
How do people? But you can see people just go onto off streets and do this weird shit.
Man, pun intended. Yeah. Why do they pick this neighborhood? I have no idea. I have no idea.
I'm lucky. I'm like where I live. There's a hill to get up to where I am. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, I hear other neighborhood, other areas around, like other streets. Again, they're like mail broken into and stuff, and little car stuff. I think people look down our road and see the little hill and they're like, nah.
Oh, wow. I'm
going to go the next street. Like, I don't think they want to bother. Because last night I woke up at like 1:30 and went to bed because I'd fallen asleep on the couch. Mm-hmm. And I'm laying in bed and I'm about to fall asleep. And I'm like, garage is open. I remember like, I don't know why I remembered, but like I ran and I had to close the garage door. So I had left that wide open while I'd been asleep for at least like 3 hours, right?
Oh, yeah.
People don't.
So no neighbors came and knocked to let you know.
No. I mean, I think it's people can't really, if they're in their house, they don't really notice it.
Yeah.
Like open
you
there.
You might find a surprise poop behind one of the boxes in your garage.
I think I do leave it open late long enough that people assume it's on purpose. Because I forget a lot. But I usually not when I fall asleep at night to do it. I'm trying to get better about it because we do have, as we get more valuable things, I don't want people.
Yeah, like your lives.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had because my battery just died. Like usually my Ring alerts everything. I do think those work great. I actually think the fact that we have a Ring doorbell on there, I think people have seen it and just moved on. I think they know they're on camera. And they have to kind of walk up to my house. You'd have to like turn around and walk backwards to not be on. You know, cause some people have them, but you can kind of go around the cars or you can hide a little bit. I've got it's like a camera just sticking on the front of my house. It's obvious.
Ooh. Yeah. So Silas, Samantha, talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that okay?
No, that's no fun.
Yeah,
not awkward
is
at
a
all.
Camera coming? Yeah,
it's
what do we think is happening? Is he getting
I don't
a
know.
Camera?
Like, I'm like, wait,
is it getting refreshing?
Maybe he
soda?
Just remembered his garage door is open.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I did hear a noise earlier. It was either a car or it was the popping of soda. You said earlier you're trying not to drink soda.
Well, yeah.
Is that
I don't,
in general? Like, are you not a.
Like, always. Well,
has that always been a thing?
For many years, I can't remember what year it started. We didn't really like have soda in the house growing up. So like, I try not to like have soda in the house. So it's not something I'll drink regularly unless if I'm out.
You're out and want a party.
Yeah, I know, right?
Or
like, no, like you get a burger and a Coke or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get a burger and a Coke, or you get a burger and a stout.
I miss a burger and a Coke. I miss
right.
So much. You know, not drinking for the last couple months. I still miss soda more.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like a nice Coke and a pizza or a root beer and a pizza.
I mean, sometimes you just want it. It's just so refreshing sometimes. So it's like, I'll have one every now and again, but I try not to.
And I was going to say, there's no side. Here's the problem. I can drink a soda.
Wait, did you say there's no side effects?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Well, just besides fatness.
Well, I mean, the sugar, the diabetes, all whatever. Sorts of stuff. It's just
yeah,
not,
so I eat ice cream instead, like, right?
Yeah, ice cream's healthier than soda.
Technically, it probably is because it's got some vitamins.
And also, it does fill you up a little bit, too, though. It's not just purely empty calories. You get like a little calcium or something in the mix.
empty calories. I think those words are a little overused.
Empty for you.
There's nothing empty about a crisp Dr. Pepper in the morning. Mm.
Hey, if you keep talking about empty, I'm gonna have to leave again. I'm doing a high water diet.
Oh wow.
Yes. High water diet? Is that just having to
is
do
it
like
water infused with marijuana or like what?
No, meat a lot, as in a lot
I
of
know,
water.
I'm teasing you.
You're not doing that
master
doing
cleanse
that 75 hard. 75 hard.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, what is this? What's
it's a new
going
diet,
on here?
Faye. It's a new diet out there. What's 75 it? Hard.
Never heard of it.
You have to go like you go hard for 75 days and there's a bunch of tools about it.
You go hard?
You go hard. 75
doing
days.
Doing what?
Well,
pooping
well,
in people's
excessive
yards?
Excessive water is part of it, like any diet plan. Like, drink a lot of water.
Well, yeah, it helps fill you up.
There's things that you cannot do. You cannot have these fast food. Like, this really, like, they go at you hard about it. I think that's why they...
That's
are you,
hilarious
are you
to me.
No,
are
no. Somebody
this?
I know just started it, and then I, like, looked it up, and I was like... And there's some people talking about it like it's not an emotionally healthy diet is what they're saying. It's like, oh, this is a little like cruel to yourself.
Yeah. I like the idea of balance. I don't like the idea of not like as much as I was saying, oh, what are you drinking? Let me drink vicariously through you. But no, I don't like saying you just can't have anything. Like I could say, okay, save it for like Sunday or, you know, like one day a week or something, but to totally deny yourself of something you want to eat is like just difficult, especially during the pandemic.
Unless it's like the crack version for yourself, right? I can't drink soda because if I drink soda, I'm done.
Oh, like you have no self-control with it.
Yeah,
it's like,
no, I have that. And I'm like, yeah. You'll come in the room later and I'm like, there's Doritos
so
all around me.
So you passed out
and,
with like empty Coke bottles everywhere.
Like I drank four.
Can you
two
have like replacement
bottles.
Stuff? Like
I just do fizzy water.
Do you like sparkling
that's
water's
it.
Good?
That's all I can do.
Oh man. There's
do,
like
man.
This. There's
oh
this
no, thing. No, 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 no. You need to seek this out. Have you ever had Big Red?
Big Red?
Big Red soda?
Oh wait.
Like.
Is it in a glass bottle?
Yeah, it's in a glass bottle. It's ruby red. Tastes like bubble gum and really ripe strawberry.
No, I haven't had that one.
To die for.
Man, I love the like the Italian sparkling sodas at Trader Joe's. They have like the grapefruit and the blood orange. I did last time I went to Trader Joe's, which I should always be doing commercials for if they needed them, but.
Whoa. Like, okay, is that like one of those sodas where it's like a hint of something and you can barely taste it? It's like a banana was next to this bottle in the back of a truck or something.
Actually, no, these ones actually it's quite flavorful, especially flavorful. Like the blood orange, I think is even more sweet. Like the great no, you definitely get the flavor of them for sure. I finally like the other day went and I was like, I've passed this aisle so many times. This is my time to have it. It was so good.
My dad would do, they'd invite people over, we're barbecue. And I'm like, do you need us to bring any soda or anything? And they're like, oh no, we got plenty of soda. I'm like, awesome. And go there. And they're like, where's the soda? And they go, oh, we got these Italian sodas. They're like better. And for me, it's always like that. Like, it's like that Bill Cosby sketch about making like the better hamburger, or no, Eddie Murphy, right? Whoever, about like, oh, I can make that. That McDonald's? Oh, no, no. Yeah. This is better than McDonald's cheeseburger.
His mom's, right?
His mom's, yeah.
Which actually turns out that, like, I feel like you don't appreciate that until you're older as actually, like, a better burger.
No, it was on Wonder Bread. It's not a better burger.
Well, okay, forget the bread, but the burger itself, like.
Maybe the burger, yeah.
Yeah.
The bun's a big part of the burger.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm confused. So the
Italian soda,
it's just always like, what? My dad only has it because, like, for some reason it's cheaper. I don't know why, because you have this giant vat of syrup that you pour into and you mix these.
Well, so the one that I was talking about, yeah, it isn't like that. It's more just like a flavored sparkling water, like, but it has more of the essence of it.
It's got sugar in it.
No, I'm saying it doesn't taste like the bubbles are finer than like a regular soda, but it's kind of like juice soda.
I like when people,
Samantha's a connoisseur.
Like when people hand you, it's a hibiscus flavored.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thanks. Yeah.
Those are good.
I love that too. When I was a soda drink, it was Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, you know, straight. And then people would hand me something like, oh, it's cucumber hibiscus. It's a really great soda. I'm like, fuck, yum. Fuck you.
I'm like, sure, give it to me. Not, I'll be all about that.
Oh, cucumber hibiscus.
Yeah, man.
Oh. Hey,
yum.
Lowell, before we get you out of here, we've hit that.
Oh, jeez, look at the time.
Yeah, we've hit that time.
Man.
That.
You inspired our soda talk.
I'm getting the hook.
The first
get him out of here.
The first time somebody comes on the show, we have 7 questions that we ask them. It's the world famous Black and a Half 7 questions. Now you don't have to prepare for these. It's just whatever comes to your mind first, and just tell us. And 7 questions.
Wait! Can I ask you one question first?
Yeah.
Who's black and who's a half?
That's a story. We're both halves, but you know, it's an evolved show, but it's a good title. I say Samantha's the black more because she looks like the black, or you're the black.
Lola, black. Okay.
We had a black on.
Wow. We're the a black. Halves.
Now you sound like my neighbors. Turn left at the black. Go ahead.
The black. Okay, the Black and a Half, world famous 7 questions. Okay. What are you most nerdy about?
Oh, this is easy. Have you ever heard of Decades Television? They binge shows every weekend from the 70s. And last weekend was Policewoman. Did not leave my house. Stayed up 48 hours to watch Policewoman.
Policewoman. Okay.
48 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the first time you've watched it, or?
Oh, no. I watch them every time. Yeah.
Wow.
And then if it's Barnaby Jones. Oof.
Oh, so is it cop shows? Old cop shows?
I still can't believe you stayed awake for 48 hours. Like, you didn't even take a nap? Like, 48 hours, you were just awake the whole time.
No, that's part of the fun. Other people have, like, Game of Thrones or whatever. I've got Policewoman in Columbo.
48 hours, though, man. I loved watching. And I rewatched Game of Thrones 2 times. I don't know. I feel like I watched the whole thing 3 times, maybe. Well, because one of them was during the pandemic. I rewatched the whole thing. And I took notes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just totally kidding. But like,
what's he doing to his sister?
What were you gonna do with these notes?
Oh my goodness. Venn diagram. No, but I did not stay up 48 hours to watch it. I couldn't, even if I wanted to.
I'm impressed.
I am impressed. I'm like, 48 hours.
As a teenage junkie.
Just make a lot of coffee and then go out in your front yard.
Okay. Number 2, what's something that you love to eat?
Gee, I got nothing except pizza. I like pizza.
What kind of pizza?
You don't love pizza? You just...
I was going to be something I love. Oh my gosh.
You don't have
what kind of pizza though?
I'm just really boring. Pepperoni.
But I mean, thin slice, thick crust, thin slice. Chicago style.
Pineapple.
Is that the thing that's hard to resist?
Pineapple. Hey, you said pineapple. Okay,
is that hard to resist?
Like, oh, yeah.
You see it?
It is.
Okay.
I feel like I should have said something dirty there. I don't know. Can we back up? I got something now.
You just save it. Keep it loaded.
Ooh.
What's something that you love to drink?
Oh, my sodas.
Sodas? Okay.
I love drinking my sodas. Yeah. It's funny. I'm not big on red wine. I've never had a taste for red wine. Try and force myself into it because it's like healthy. And I drink beer. Not big on beer at all. Yeah. I know you didn't ask me what I don't like to drink, right, but I thought I'd put it right. That's a bonus.
That's good to know too, though.
Explain why. Yeah. What kind of music do you love?
R&B and lately a lot of tunes that come from places like Africa.
Okay. Like modern Africa music or like old or tribal?
Modern Africa.
Modern Africa. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't somebody
tell
us on like one of the last episodes that they listened to African
Ethiopian jazz.
Yes, Ethiopian jazz.
She sent me some.
Really? Send it to me.
Like there's an artist out now. He's a poet in Toronto who's turned toward music. His name is Mustafa. At least that's his act's name, Mustafa. And he has a song called Air Forces that I will put that on repeat and listen to it all freaking day.
Wait, is the African music in what language is it in? Is it in another language?
It's in English.
Oh, okay. Okay, because that was the funny thing with the Ethiopian jazz that Amber sent me. Because she sent it, and I just started playing it, and it's got this beat and jazz. I'm like, oh, this is, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I totally hear this. And then they start singing it in the other languages. I'm like, no, nope. All right.
Oh, you can't listen to music unless if it's in English?
No, I want to know what you're talking about. I've always been that way.
Can't you Google and then translate the lyrics?
I don't know. I will listen to music. I will listen to instrumental music from any country. I love hearing the sounds and stuff.
Yeah,
but the moment they start
any country, you were hating on bagpipes. You down with that Scottish music?
I don't count that as a country.
Yeah. Because I was talking about how much I love like listening to
bagpipes. Oh my God. Almost every country. But the moment they start singing and I can't understand what they're saying, I'm just gone. I'm like, I don't know. Because I'm not going to start boogieing down and then find out that this is some perverted song or like it's about cheese. Like, I don't know. I want to know what's going on.
That's
I can't
right.
Are you
get
like,
into
are
it.
You like that with foreign films?
I can read it. I'm reading the... I'm not going to watch a foreign film unless it's subtitled. I'm just gonna like,
what are we going to do with you?
What's going on? I don't know. Honey, what's going on in this? I don't know. But looking at it, don't be racist. I don't have to know the language. Okay. Lowell, what do you love to create?
I feel like I should say interesting characters, but that's not. What do I love to create? Nobody said we had to create. What's this create stuff you're talking about? What do I like to create?
What about make?
Memories. I like to create memories.
Oh, that's sweet. I like that.
I like to give people a reason not to date me again.
I liked your response too, though, of like, why do I have to create? Who said I had to do that? I don't got new shit. Okay. But stay up 48 hours, drink my soda, and watch my shows. Like it.
What's a game you love to play?
Ooh, psychological romance.
Does that go into the memories of RPG? The memories of like, what you were just saying?
Like real life?
Yeah.
Psychological.
I mean, who doesn't like a good mind fuck?
Brought to you by Hasbro.
Oh, did you watch? Did you watch in her behind her eyes or in her eyes, beneath her eyes? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's this new series that's out on
Netflix.
Is it Netflix? If you if you're talking about a psychological romantic that, watch it and let me know what you think.
Okay.
Who's in it?
I don't know. It's like a unknown a BBC actress. Show.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean,
unknown
I'm sure,
to us.
Yes, unknown to us. But it, yeah, no. Watch it. Let me know.
Okay, I've been meaning to watch it.
You're on.
And last question: in 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
That I was good.
Yeah, right. You leave set and you're like, that was satisfying. He was good.
He is good. He was good. He was, It's been a while that another actor could make me laugh as much as Lowell did on set. I'll say that. That was
oh my gosh. Funny. That's so nice of you.
Oh
yeah. Silas has gotten some great laughs out this episode too.
Cracking us both up. Well,
enjoyable.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show today and joining us letting us delve into your past.
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. Being naked for you two was just like strangely invigorating.
Oh, I love that. Can I use that for a reference? A testimonial.
That should be
being
on
naked
our,
for
yeah,
you.
That's be on
that
the,
should be your that podcast. Should be your Yelp review.
Yes.
Live long and prosper.